opinion. I'm not a licensed psychologist.
Hello there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We're live from Portland. I do sound better today.
You do sound better.
All right. If it weren't for the mucus.
Ew.
Thank you. Hello. Thank you. Good night. Mucus is to you.
Seriously, I have to share a room with you. Don't talk about mucus.
As hair is to Aaron. The worst part is like if a hair is caught in some sort of food that is sort of fibrous. And you might not know that it's a hair in your food right off. You might just think it's part of the texture of the fish. It's 503-733. Thank you. There you go. The more you know. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you'd like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick at rickemerson.com. These, my friends, these are the storm leads. These are comments on storm launch. I even feel better today. Because, you know, it's not that there have been bad shows as such, but I've just kind of had that head congestion and the thing. You know what it is? It's the fact that six cases of Viso just arrived. That's what it is. It's the Alex at Viso actually just sent over, and our good friend Chris Tate, one of our fine account executives here, actually just dropped off six cases of Viso. So it's like you don't even need... Not that I'm saying that there's anything... Not that I'm saying that I'm trying to equate Viso with any sort of a illicit stimulant. I'm simply saying it's not even really having the Viso in your hand or drinking it. It's just knowing that it's here if you need it. It's just knowing that you have it around. It's just knowing that you're not running out. That you're not going to have to fight your coworkers for it. It's just a little mental comfort of seeing the Viso box right there. Anyway, we got the storm comments. We will do a Rockstar recap. We will talk Popeil. Speaking of Aaron, we'll do the Week in Geek and all of that. And later on at the end of the program, we'll check in with Mailman Chris, see where we are in terms of push-ups, like us at 3, and all of that. It's 503-733-2970. Well, welcome here, my wife, the lovely Laura, here, just like 3 seconds. And here's why. Because it was pointed out to me by somebody that, I don't know, I think it was on Tuesday, might have been Monday, but I had made some reference to the fact that a woman had caught fire in her kitchen a couple days back. And I do realize in retrospect it's a little strange that I mentioned that and then didn't sort of fill in the gaps. It was said in passing as one of those things that I meant to go back and expound on later, and didn't really happen so much as it didn't happen. And I said, well, I've got this bunion on my foot, and the dog tore up some paper towels, and a woman caught fire in my kitchen, and also the car's making a clanking noise. And I didn't really elaborate on that. And several people have pointed out that that was strange. So let us know. Welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. My wife, the lovely Laura, joining us now on the AM 970. How are you, dear?
Hey, very well. How are you?
I'm feeling better today, actually.
Yeah, you sound better. Your voice is good.
I'm feeling up to snuff. If it wasn't for the mucus. Let's talk about the woman in the kitchen. So, now, let's to be fair, I was not there when the woman... and it wasn't her whole body. It was just her hair.
When the hair caught fire, you were not there.
No. I was not there.
And when did this happen? This week?
It was last week, I think, like on Thursday.
I never really did adequately, though, clarify for the audience, because I wasn't there. So, here's the thing. Because we... Laura and I are filthy people. No, it's sort of like two Sarahs in a relationship where it's like you could do those dishes or you could just put them off till the next day. And so they don't ever really get done. And so we have a division of household labor where I am supposed to do the kitchen. I'm supposed to do the dishes.
Supposed to do the laundry.
You're kind of supposed to do the laundry. And then there are these sort of common areas, right? These sort of like demilitarized zones. And where you're supposed to divide the labor up. And which is all...
One does those things.
It's all very good in theory, but that never really happens in reality. What happens in reality is, you know, we get home at around the same time, we leave the house at around the same time, and we just sort of look at the filth and we go, we'll take care of that later. And then it doesn't really come together.
Our floors haven't been washed for, since the last... poorly paid woman.
It's been some time. So from time to time, we have actually paid someone to come once or twice a month and just sort of clean the house and just sort of bring everything back to zero. You know what I mean? Because after a while, the filth in the house gets to be it's such overwhelming filth that you just don't feel you can even tackle it. But you sort of tell yourself that if you can get somebody to come and clean the house and take everything back to zero, take everything back to, you know, the way it's supposed to be, that then it's a lot easier because all you have to do is maintain, which is, I think, a fiction. But that's the fiction we tell ourselves. Yeah. So,
I've got to warn you that my cell phone is now beeping, and I am away from cell phone stuff.
All right.
My
battery's
dying.
All right.
Can I quickly?
Yeah. So tell the story.
Okay. So I invite this new cleaner over to the house who I've never met before or whatnot. I saw her ad like on a bulletin board.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So she has.
Did you see her ad on Craigslist?
Something like that.
Uh-huh.
Something like that.
Okay.
So. She is an older lady and says she really likes to work, and she has this big, huge bunch of hair, and there's a scrunchie involved.
A scrunchie.
So anyway, she's about to give me the price quote, or I'm about to ask for the price quote for what she's going to do, and she's telling me how great she's going to be. And I had been cleaning the house a little bit that day, and of course our house always... It has, like, the garbage smell going on a bit.
Right.
So I had lit a candle in the kitchen to get the garbage smell away.
Right, right.
And she stood in front of said candle, and then suddenly I see hair going up into the like this wall of flame behind her.
A wall of flame.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
So, I freak out, she freaks out, and really, not all of the hair went.
Oh. Oh, she's gone. Oh.
No.
Oh. Oh, that's unfortunate. That's too bad. All right, well,
that was the definition of a failed bit.
Oh. Well, that's too bad. Well, there you go. Well, you've heard. So you've heard now at least the beginning of the story. So we'll finish that. She'll get a hold of it. We'll finish that at some point. But that is essentially what happened. So yeah. So there's the woman in the kitchen, and it's like tons of hairspray. And she told me the story later. First of all, finding a woman on Craigslist who you don't really know who is going to come over and clean your house seems like a bad idea in many ways. That seems like a poorly thought-out proposition. And so she's in the house, she's trashy, lots of hairspray, and of course the scrunchie, that's the giveaway right there. You know what I mean? She's got the scrunchie, and I don't know what the woman looked like, I didn't see her, but it's like when you mention lots of hair, and Craigslist, and Southeast, and the scrunchie, then it's like, I see lavender sweatpants. You know, in like some sort of like a white hoodie with some sort of a cartoon character in the front of it or whatever. So she's in the kitchen, and we've told the story about these candles anyway. There's candles made by our friend Lauren. Candles which are, I'm not saying they're meant to sabotage things, but the last time I used a candle made by our friend Lauren, it was one of those things where I lit it. And again, because our crowd, and I saw you wrinkle your nose at the garbage stink comment. When you know exactly what I'm talking about, though, where you get that, and after a while, you sort of don't even really notice it, and then you only become conscious of it again when somebody else comes over. And have you ever done this, where somebody, and not that we're all disgusting and horrid, but like we clean ourselves more or less before we come to work. But you go to Sarah's house, there's some dishes piled up. You go to my house. That garbage, and this is the other thing. You get the garbage can in the kitchen, and this, I believe, is a male thing. I believe this is a guy thing. Of opening the garbage can lid, and just try... The garbage in our kitchen is sort of like when you go to a Mongolian grill. You know what I'm talking about? When you go to that Mongolian buffet. And I'm not talking about when you pay for the multiple trips through. I'm talking about when you go to, like, the Chang's Mongolian Grill, or the Panda Grill, or whatever, and you pay... The $6.95, and that's for one trip through the grill. And so, what do? You get one bowl, you stack, and you put it on top of the other bowl, and you are pressing that meat down. You're pressing that meat into the bottom of the bowl with the force of an angry god. You're going through, and you are doing layer upon layer of food in the bowl at the Mongolian grill, and you are just pressing it down as hard as you can. You are reducing it to a singularity. You are reducing it to the density of dark matter by the time you get up to the front where they're going to grill it and whatever. Because you only got the one pass, man. And so by the time you get up there, you've only got the one bowl full of Mongolian food, but it weighs 55 pounds because you've shoved as much food in there as you possibly can. So it is with our garbage in the kitchen. You know, It passes the point where, like, any normal person would have taken the garbage out. Any normal person would have taken the garbage out days ago. Not me. Not me. For me, it's a whole lot of pressing down with it. And, like, you'll use some non-dirty garbage item as sort of a hand shield, won't you? Like a tin can of some kind, or perhaps a bread wrapper. And you will put the bread wrapper between your hand and the sort of dirty garbage inside. And you just sort of, pressing it down. Pressing it down and pressing it down. Or so, this is the indoor equivalent to when you are stomping the trash down in the can outside. And so the garbage will just take on this unholy density in our kitchen. And then the garbage smell sort of creeps up on you sometimes. And I know this makes it sound like I live inside a sty. I really don't. The house isn't really that dirty. It's just that we are very, very, very lazy when it comes to cleaning the kitchen. It is the Achilles heel of the whole house. And sometimes you don't really realize that maybe that lasagna from a couple nights back is putting off an odor. You don't really necessarily know that until someone comes over to say howdy. And they walk in the door, and suddenly the whole realization just floods over you like a bad crimson wave. Suddenly it's like, I just don't. Have you ever done this? Have you ever brought somebody into your house? Maybe it's just somebody coming over. Maybe it's just like if you're single, you bring somebody over to your house for a date or whatever. Have you ever had to bring somebody over to your house, and then you have to specifically instruct them beforehand not to look at or go into certain rooms? Where you come, can I come pick you up at 7? We'll go to the movie. Yeah, come over now. When you come in, I just walk straight back into the office. I'm going to be, don't look in the kitchen. No, just don't. Just come straight through. And, like, you will meet them at the door of your house. Well, you meet them at the door, and you will actually steer them back. Like, I remember back, this is when I lived in Utah, and I lived alone. And, I mean, the bedroom was sort of okay because, frankly, you didn't spend a lot of time there. And, you know, and whatever. It's just like, the bathroom is fine. And so it's like if you had your girlfriend who was coming over, or some girl's going to spend the night or whatever. Literally, it's like a meter at the door, hand over the eyes, and just don't look at the living room. I'll just bring you back to the bedroom here. You just don't open your eyes a whole lot. So that's what it is. So anyway, so the woman comes over. She stands by the candle, and apparently the hair just goes up in flames. And I guess she doesn't even really notice it right off because it doesn't. Because your hair, as we discussed in the whole unpleasant Siamese twins connected to the hair discussion, you can't really feel what's going on with your hair. And so I guess the hair was burning for a couple of seconds before anybody realized it, and Laura just looked up, and the back, she described it as being sort of a Christ-like image, where the back of the head is just enveloped in flame. And then you realize at that point, it's like seeing someone's head enveloped in flame in your kitchen. It's sort of like when you're at a restaurant, God forbid, and there's someone choking, or you're at a pool and someone has inhaled a little too much water in the lungs, and you realize that you've been taught and told hundreds of times throughout your life how to deal with these issues, you've remembered it never. You've actually committed it to memory not once. Like right now, if Sarah started choking on something like a chicken bone, you would be dead because I have no knowledge. I don't know how to do the Heimlich maneuver. My knowledge of the Heimlich maneuver is limited to having seen like Dick Van Dyke do it on Diagnosis Murder once. That's it. That's all I know. Same thing with CPR. It would be a whole lot of blue skin and busted ribs. Because you would just, you know, I would just, and my whole assessment of how to save someone's life when they've passed out, it all comes down to me just pounding and just going, live, damn it, live! Like, that's, in my head, that's how you save someone's life. Is you just scream at them in a very irritated voice that they must, don't let the bastard win. That's it. So, but I guess there happened to be a towel there. And so she grabbed the towel and wrapped the woman's head in swaddling clothes and put out the, and then the woman still stayed and wanted the job, which I would think is very awkward. The best part of the story, the part that Laura was on the phone long enough to tell you is this. The best part of the story is her complaint to me, like, this is after we have set a woman on fire. Not me, because I wasn't there. This is after a woman has come to our home, surveyed our house, seen our filth, still offered to clean. Laura inadvertently sets her hair on fire in the kitchen with a candle. Afterward, the woman is still good enough to offer to work for us. And
she sounds like a go-getter.
And what with fighting for the flame and all. Enter the pain. This is Laura's comment to me later, though. Laura's comment to me after telling me the whole story of having to save a woman's head from becoming crisped in our kitchen is that I don't know. She did want a lot, though. She wanted way more than that Guatemalan woman. The Guatemalan woman who was, in fact, not a legal citizen. And so there you go. That goes with swearing the loyalty oath to the government at her job, which Laura also had to do. Suddenly you realize one day, you wake up and you realize that you are the man, and you are complaining about the fact that a citizen somehow wants a lot of money to come and do the job that you need done in your... They want a lot of money to clean... They're coming to scoop out the filth in our kitchen. So there you go. Let's take a break. We'll come back. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop will be coming up, I believe, at the bottom of the hour, too. We come back. Tim Riley at the City Desk. We'll do Top 5 and also Popeil and also Rockstar Supernova. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere.
Holy diver, you've been down too long in the midnight sea.
Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Tomorrow, Scott Daly from FilmPaperRadio.com will be talking about Hollywood Land, starring Ben Affleck, who used to be an actor. 503-733-2970.
I saw that my friend has this book of crime scenes, and I saw the Black Dahlia murder, like that crime scene photo. That's messed up, dude.
Yeah, that's a whole lot of when one becomes two.
Yeah, it was one that they shot across the street when they just found her in the field.
Yeah. That just premiered, I think, at Cannes. Right? Is it Cannes open now?
I don't know.
There's somewhere. Black Dahlia is either just premiered or premiered. He's going to premiere this. Oh, and that's Brian De Palma, too. Because I was getting the Black Dahlia movie confused in my head with the Zodiac film. And the deal is Zodiac film is David Fincher. The Black Dahlia, you know, which is one of the Black Dahlia is a famous murder case in Hollywood about a woman whose name I forget, who came out to be a star and blah, 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 and ended up so horrible. It literally cut into, I think, several pieces and, like, shoved into a steamer trunk somewhere and, like, found in a field. Anyway, so it's a case that's obsessed a lot of people over the years. And Brian De Palma has a film about that, which I think is debuting. It's debuting somewhere this week. So we'll talk to Scott Daly about that tomorrow and so forth. Coming up later on, Geek in the City, Aaron Duran will bring us the Week in Geek. We've got the Popeil stuff, the Top 5 Rockstar Recap, in which we will talk a lot about the... And here's the thing about the Rockstar Recap. Is it Storm only needs... Because, again, it is everything comes down to me. Storm only needs to make it one more week. That's the thing. She makes it one more week, and then my, like, $600 in plane tickets will not have been in vain. Then I won't have to just eat that. Because if she gets kicked off next week, then I'm a host. One more week, she makes it through one more Wednesday, and I'm fine.
Wait, so you're not going next week, and you're going the weekend after?
I'm going the week after that. I'm going to the Sunday after that. So she has to make it one more week.
Odds are that she will, because they want to keep the ratio even, so I hear.
Well, and because...
Oh, and because she's talented, of course, but those guys are all idiots.
It has nothing to do... And it's not even has to do with her talent. It's that she's more interesting than several other... She's more interesting than Toby, and she's more interesting than... I don't know anybody. Look, I know that Toby's hot. What would you say? He was extremely effable, or is...
He looked when he was performing.
He's just not, but he's not interesting, though.
He's not interesting.
There's really not a whole lot interesting about
Magny's
that guy.
Magny's kind of interesting, so I think they'll keep him longer.
I think Magny's interesting because he's sort of a foreigner, because he's got, and plus you feel...
What about you and saying foreigner all the time?
Because he's not just some other guy from, like, somewhere in America. I mean, that's one of the things that makes Delana interesting. I mean, to be honest, because Delana's got that weird, like, exotic vibe, because there's a vibe that people put off. You know, there are attitudes, and there's a sort of way that people carry themselves when they're from certain parts of the country and not from America. And, like, Toby's got a little bit. Like, the Australians, I'm painting with a broad brush, but I think there is a certain machismo that comes with Australian people for some reason. I mean, it's not like I've known a lot of Australians in my life, but I've known a couple people, and there is... I don't know, there's a certain kind of a swagger that comes with a lot of Australian guys for some reason. It's like Australia is sort of one big Texas. And Toby's got a little bit of that. And Magny has, Magny's got kind of a, not a weird vibe as such, but it is sort of, there's something kind of brooding about him. And I don't know what it is a little bit. He was kind of getting a little back sass last night when he had the microphone. So, anyway, we'll talk more about that. Ladies and gentlemen, let us go to the Ministry of Truth with your personal savior. His name is Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
We're going back to the moon. Lockheed Martin has just won a contract
for $18 billion to build rocket ships to the moon.
Attention, Clyde Lewis.
Now, by the time this is over, this moon voyage, which is supposed to take place in 2020, it'll cost you $100 billion. So, this is the first time we've been to the moon since 1972. We're not saying what we're doing up there and why, but it's a good reason to spend $100 billion.
There's all kinds of things on the moon that we need, such as, and who could forget the something or other.
Meanwhile, Orlando Bloom has turned down a role in the new Knight Rider movie. Apparently, David Hasselhoff called him and asked him to play the son of Michael Knight.
Is Hasselhoff himself playing Michael Knight?
It doesn't say here.
I bet he is. I bet Hasselhoff, because there's so many of those shows like this, like Starsky and Hutch of Miami Vice, where it's, because Don Johnson and, Philip Michael Thomas, like none of those guys are in any of those remakes. But I will guarantee you, I bet Hasselhoff knows the time is now. Hasselhoff senses that this is his time, because there's a lot of weird sort of ironic buzz about that guy. And so I'll guarantee you, man, he's going to sink his big meaty flanks into that role and just never let it go. That's a fantastic. Would you like to play the son of David Hasselhoff? Would you like to be romanced by David Hasselhoff?
Meanwhile, from Everman, Texas, comes word that Kathy Kilbertson will leave her position as principal of Everman High School after singling out black students' test scores over the intercom. During an address on the first day of class, Kilbertson says black students have failed math on the state's accountability test. Caused the suburban Fort Worth school to be rated unacceptable.
We have that story. I don't even know if we mentioned this story on the air, but didn't we have some story last week where it was like some bus driver was making all the black kids move to the back?
No, I didn't hear that.
No, it was all over the. I forget where it was. It was someplace, and I do not believe it was in the South, which is where you expect those stories to originate from. I think it was somewhere. It was like Pennsylvania or someplace. Some white, and of course a white school bus driver who at one point stopped the bus. Singled out, this was all over CNN, singled out like eight black students of like, you all, I mean, it's just so ludicrous, you can't even believe you're saying, but literally stopped the bus and was like, the black students, move to the back. And for reasons that were really never adequately explained, although there probably is no explanation that would make any sense. So this whole country, this country is like when you clean a window and you think you've gotten it all done, and then you stand back and you look and you realize there's some corner of it that you forgot to poke at and it's filled with cobwebs. That's what this whole country is, man. You think that you've expunged all the hicks from a place, and then you realize that they reproduce faster than you can try to breed them out.
Microphones and digital recorders are hidden in underbrush this summer in the northern section of the Theodore Roosevelt National Park. The devices are being placed in four sites to monitor the calls of frogs and toads.
And also to catch people who are George Michaeling in the park. That's the unstated thing there.
Speaking of that, have the clergy watch.
well done. Good segue. Here's your clergy watch. Clergy watch.
Oh, I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body. I know not everybody I got a body like you. Because I got to have faith.
This comes us in Fort Worth, Texas. A pastor accused of raping a church member in his house last year under the guise of casting out demons has been indicted. 63-year-old Leonard Ray Owens, who is free on $25,000 bail, is now awaiting a trial on charge of sexual assault, a second-degree felony punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison. Police began investigating Owen last year after a 22-year-old woman reported that Owen raped her twice in his Fort Worth home. The woman told police in July, several months after she began attending the Prayer House of Faith, she went to Owen's house for counseling following a miscarriage. Owens told her that a sex spirit and lesbian demon were inside her and needed to cast both things out.
You can't see it. It's kind of a tiny invisible lesbian, but it's in the... No, wait, hold on. No, there it is. No, hold on. I have a special tool for this.
The pastor then asked her to lie on the floor and began yelling at her as if she were a demon, saying, "Lose her in the name of Jesus," according to the arrest warrant. The woman told police that Owens pulled down her pants as he called for the demons to come on out. When she tried to get up, he pushed her down. The pastor then began to fight with her as if she were a demon before climbing on top of her, pinning her down and raping her. Then Owens, a self-proclaimed prophet, ordered her to wash her face in the name of Jesus and read Psalm number 105-15, which says to do no harm to prophets. The woman told officers Edo was raped her again a month later and then asked her to go to his house to pray for another woman.
Those lesbian demons are like a stubborn stain in your vagina, though. Difficult to get out. No, you know what I'm saying. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. The lesbian demons, they're difficult to remove. It's like ketchup on a curtain. It's you gotta really
you
Clorox
need to stop
that.
Stop talking now.
All right, there you go. There's your clergy watch for.
Cause I gotta have faith.
Ketchup on a curtain. Ketchup on a curtain. All right. You know what? That's not a euphemism. Literally, ketchup on a curtain. I used to have
ketchup
these...
hard to get out of curtains. I don't get it.
Wait, what are we talking about?
I don't
now?
Know.
I'm just saying it's like a stubborn stain on your soul. Or somewhere else. And I like that it couldn't be a demon. It's not just that she was possessed by a demon. It's that she was possessed by a lesbian demon. Which, you know, those are the hardest to get out, really. That's sort of the attracting, caked-in grass stain of demons.
Harry Manilow and his Palm Springs home in a wheelchair following hip surgery, but he should be walking by the end of the week. Being in a wheelchair would naturally be a case of 2 weeks after surgery, says publicist Carol Marshall. But Barry's doing much better than that. He's doing great.
Meanwhile, they've just taken off his skin somewhere and put it inside a case to be polished and stretched.
He won an Emmy Award on Sunday night for outstanding individual performance in a variety of music program. On Monday, the alleged 60-year-old underwent surgery for both hips at a Southern California hospital, and he got some.
Now, I wonder what the ratio is for the year shaving, because he says 60. Mm-hmm. So you got to figure, I mean, for every year they admit to, I mean, you got to figure there's probably a 10% differential there. So he's got to be at least 65, you would say.
I would think
yeah.
so.
Yeah, all right.
He still has a good 6 weeks or so of physical therapy following his recuperation. Now, Barry Manilow plans to return to his Las Vegas concert schedule. He had postponed surgery to repair cartilage tears in both hips so he could attend to Dick Clark at the Emmy Awards.
So he could give Dick Clark a sponging. Rick, this email says, oh, this is from Aaron. Rick, it's bad enough that you talk about and continue to talk about hair all through my lunch hour. Talk that was made infinitely more disgusting as a piece of gelatinous turkey meat product became lodged in my teeth, just as you mentioned, another piece of hair. Thanks. Sucking down that meat product was really enjoyable. Thank you. I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. Also, by the way, thanks for mentioning your disgusting and repellent kitchen. A kitchen that you made me cook in some time ago under the guise of coming over for dinner. Hey, Aaron, your people know their way around a kitchen. Cook for the white man. And that's Aaron's assessment, by the way, of my motivation. That statement does not reflect the views of me or anyone at CBS Radio. Signed, I hate you. Aaron Keek in the city. There you go. No, the kitchen was not repellent when Aaron came to cook. The kitchen was, it did remain repellent for many weeks after he was done cooking, though. Aaron did cook well, by the way. No, it's true. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley.
Oh, listen to this. To celebrate its 40th anniversary of the original Star Trek TV series that premiered in 1966, it is getting a makeover. The remastered series have been converted to a high-definition format and boast new music and souped-up sound and special effects.
So you can see the bad wood grain and the peeling vinyl on the Star Trek chair. Oh, by the way, while we're here, we should...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
By the way, Aaron also notes that lesbians leave streaks if you don't clean them up right away. It's, I don't know. I don't even know what it says. I'm just reading the emails as they come in. It's, is Pillow Pants a lesbian demon? If you've seen Clerks 2, it'll make sense. Scotty J, how you doing, sir?
You rang?
I did indeed. All right. Hey, you were weighing in the hallway earlier with some observations about Charlie FM.
Right.
Would you care to share those
with
us now?
Well, they came to the college. And
when they say who?
Charlie Girl.
I don't understand what it's
Charlie.
Like
the promotions.
Isn't Charlie Girl a song? Isn't that by the association?
Actually,
no, that's
yeah.
Georgie Girl.
There are only three employees that work there, and they,
really?
I say they.
Really? Did they tell you that?
Do you remember her name?
Was it Aaron Hubert?
No.
Oh.
That's not
That's an awful lot of people for a radio station.
Yeah, does that sound familiar?
Did they have a good book? Was it a bumper year? They were able to, we're going to be increasing the workforce to 3.
Oh, they were really nice, and I think she was the promotions.
What is okay?
Director,
I guess. Okay, let's stop. Let's back up here. This is when. How long ago was this?
This would be probably within. Had to be 4 to 6 months.
Okay, so this is earlier this year. You were at Mount Hood,
right? No, because I saw her at one of the concerts I went to just in the last month.
All right.
She was
so. Let me ask you this. So this is what section in your broadcasting education was this? Like, in other words, what were you studying at that time at Mount Hood that they felt that Charlie people could weigh in on?
Well, we had a regular broadcasting class where different DJs and people
I sense that you're trying to be really careful
town.
Here.
Well, people from around town would
are you angling
radio
to get a
stations.
Job there? Is that why you're trying to be so so?
Well, you never know. That
I sense that you're tiptoeing your way around these
that
around these questions.
Go so well, right?
Have an opportunity next week to do something.
I hear their new morning show is going to be needing something.
But they brought out a lot of DJs and a lot.
Do you
of
enjoy getting faxes containing jokes and bringing them to the studio? do you enjoy copying commentary from Fark whole cloth and putting it onto paper for DJs? Okay, so now, but I'm in other words, what were you supposed to be learning from the people from Charlie FM?
What'd you learn from the nice promotions girl?
Well, no, the class itself was just, you know, about radio in general. So they would always bring in somebody. They brought in a guy from, you know, Kink, I believe. They brought, you know.
We're getting nowhere with this.
Well,
who is, let's stop. Okay, you're there in the communications class. They say, students, we'd like to have your attention today. We've got some very special guests today. The guests are, and then the guests were who? Let's go one by one.
Well, like,
let's take it one at a time.
The gal,
no hurry.
Charlie.
The right. guy from Charlie.
Gal.
Meets,
gal.
The gal from Charlie. Like the man from Uncle. Napoleon Solo is here.
I feel bad I don't remember her name, but she was more promotion.
Do you know what these people did?
That's what she talked about. She talked about
promotions.
Were these
just people they found wearing the station shirt and they brought them into your classroom? So there was a woman who did promotions.
Correct. Number two, I'm not an early morning guy.
Were you even there, or was this
like
something you were told by other people later?
But what she talked about was a promotions end of a radio station, so that's kind of what she focused on. Other people came in and they talked about programming and things like that.
Did she tell you, did she mention the endless hours of fun blowing up inflatable figures?
Did she mention the fact that she's supposed to work for one station, she instead works for all 7?
Yeah, did that the other thing? Yeah, did they tell you that it's complete, that there's a complete bait and switch?
I got the message that they were never going to use DJs and that was an annoying thing.
Scotty's making quote marks on the air with his hands, by the way. All right, who were the other two people? Do you even remember? They couldn't have been DJs. There are no DJs there.
Right, right. They were mainly managers. Like, I believe a manager of Mix, of the Skip, Doug and Skippy show. I believe he came in.
On the Buzz?
On the Buzz?
Yeah.
Like a producer?
Yeah. Or the manager, one of the main guys over there.
This class really taught you a lot. I can tell that your retention is top-notch.
I'll tell you what. I wrote down a lot of these folks' names in a book, and
which I then burned in a Masonic ritual.
Mysteriously, it disappeared. I mean, I have no idea where it is.
Did you learn anything in this class that you put?
Did I learn anything in school?
You paid thousands of dollars for this. That's retarded. You paid through the navel for this.
I learned enough to remember that I actually saw the Charlie girl, gal from Charlie. So,
okay,
you know.
Here's the thing. Here's what you have to realize. Like many, 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 many people, I don't listen to Charlie.
No one does.
So, what is a Charlie girl?
She just kind of comes on she's...
Is she the voice of the station?
Well,
I thought the voice of the station was a guy.
One of the many characters. They have character voices instead of DJs.
Oh, God.
Right? So there's Charlie. There's
it's
Charlie
like
girl.
A DJ, but we don't have to pay them. They don't have to live here.
Exactly right. And
they never ask for raises or respect.
The funny part is when
they don't talk back. They don't ask for creative control.
When she was talking about this in class, I'm like, you guys are going to have DJs in 6 months. Now, who didn't say that?
Yes.
But that's why.
Yes, you're a prophet.
you know.
Okay. Thanks, Scotty. That was gripping. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. There you go. Thank you so much. All right, 503-733-2970.
I have a feeling that you had talked to him about that earlier and that was supposed to go a lot better.
No, here's the thing is that Tim and I were both talking to him out in the hallway, and he got this really nervous look in his eye, and I could tell that there's a whole lot of, like, I might need to get a job somewhere else going on with that guy. Oh, is this? I see somebody in the... Susan Reynolds. This is Susan calling to make fun of us for our assessment. Hello, Susan Reynolds.
Well, no, I'm just calling to weigh in. Hello.
CBS Radio Portland marketing guru. How are you?
I'm good. You know, I've been invited out to Mount Hood many times to speak to the classes. And
they never invite us.
Well, look, you know, most of the time you're barely connecting with these kids are barely staying awake, you know.
Yeah, so I'm getting that feeling.
Well, I always think what I have to say is really fascinating, but apparently not so much.
Well, no. I mean, I'm sure that what you have to say probably is. But really, what is someone whose entire job consists of reading pithy statements written by a focus group off a 3x5 liner card between Carly Simon songs really going to say?
Well, actually, she is, I believe, like their street team. You know, they say, come out and meet Charlie Girl at the, you know, the Shucks Auto Parts or whatever. You know what I mean?
It's such a glorious laugh.
So she probably does blow up her share of balloons and hang her share of banners.
Oh, God. Really, the horrifying thing, though, is if there's somebody out there sitting around the house or perhaps who's broken free of their restraining devices and they've gotten over to the radio somehow and they hear that, and that's the highlight of their week.
Well... You know,
I was going to end it all, but now...
It takes all types of people to make these radio stations.
No, be very clear on this. No. When I say this, I'm in no way are we knocking promotions, and no way are we knocking marketing in any way.
Oh, I know.
I am. We're simply talking about this specific woman from a rather nondescript radio station that apparently made absolutely no impression at all upon Scotty, who was actually paying thousands of dollars to be there to hear what she had to say.
I know. I was just thinking to myself, gosh, of all the times I've been out there to speak, I'm sure people are going, yeah, there was some girl who came out, and I don't know what she was talking about. And
the best part, by the way, we've had several people, including Sarah, ask us how Scotty's, because I was talking about, yeah, that's Scott. We had a meeting with Scotty the other day, which is the sort of, what do you want to do with your life?
Oh, wasn't Susan in that meeting too?
Susan was there.
Oh, I was. We had the talk, and I'm doing the quote marks.
Yeah, totally, because Scotty's internship is coming to an end at the end of September, and it's a lot of like, when this internship is up, where does Scotty J see himself? The best part of the meeting was literally that, like, every other sentence was Susan and I trying to convince him to leave radio. Not because we don't like him, but because that's what you do with people. When people are like, so how do I get a job in radio? The first thing you do is just tell them to do anything else.
Well, you just want to make sure they're really in it for the long haul because, as we know, there's a lot of jobs that are a little less than glamorous and people might have this false sense of what it's really like.
Like the, I'd be happy with $40,000 a year.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, look, we've hung in there, and, you know, it's worked out okay for us, but we're, you know, we are not every man, as they say.
It is true.
It's Kitty Couric.
Yeah.
Well, I know that a lot of the company's money has gone into Katie Couric's, you know, pocketbook, so, you know.
Yes, it's gone into reducing her hips, apparently. I'm going to demand, by the way, that all of our photos from now on be photoshopped to make us slimmer. In fact, can I just get somebody else to, can I just have, like a large black man to play me in all of the press photos from now on?
Well, we could get one of those cutouts, and then you just stick your head through the thing and you can have whatever body you'd like.
I'm just saying, you know, just like, you know, maybe one of the guys from the mod squad or something. This is going to give us a lot of street cred.
Well, now, see, you and Tim and Sarah, you could do a mod squad type photo session and that might be kind of fun.
See, you can't say that because somebody, like an AE or somebody of this, somebody will hear that and they'll think that that's exactly what we ought to do.
And then the idea will have taken off by the time you get off the air today.
That's what I'm saying. And they'll have like booked it, you know, as an annual with some, like as a cross promotion with a client. You can't, yeah, you have
to. Yes, glamour shots.
Totally. We should totally do glamour shots. Like the Sears robot kind, where I'm all, it's like the soft focus, and I've got a feather boa.
Uh-huh.
And I've got...
And a big brimmed hat.
Totally. No, but I mean, literally, where I've got like the plunging neckline and a pearls, and I'm sort of going like, that look that's sort of like a...
So you're telling us you want to take some photos and drag?
I'm sure Sarah would do your makeup.
I would.
I think I could
do that.
You know what? Here's the thing, is I just like stuff that screws with people.
Mm-hmm.
I just like stuff that sort of messes with people a little bit. I think there's something there.
I have learned this about you over the past few months.
We ought to explore that. Or at least make Scotty J dress as a woman.
He would be really pretty.
We should end this call now. All right. Thank you, Susan.
Bye-bye.
All right. There you go. Susan Reynolds, ladies and gentlemen.
Remember how Scotty J doesn't like that kind of thing.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Maybe your brother has an outfit you could wear.
Follow your brother's boa.
Your brother's assless chaps.
Tell his friend to bring his matching outfit, too.
His friend, who inexplicably was there with a matching pair of chaps. I'm sure it's a huge coincidence.
Yes. And does he come home for Christmas every year?
He's 57. Okay. Let's take a break. Sorry. We're going to come back a little bit more from the Ministry of Truth, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. We'll talk Rockstar Supernova. We'll talk Popeil. And more Freddie Mercury. It's a good day. Best day ever, ladies and gentlemen. My voice is back. We got Freddie Mercury on the sound system. I'm dressing Scotty J in drag. These are the shows that legends are made of. You stay there back after this. Don't go anywhere. One smoke, one smoke, one smoke, one smoke, one smoke.